Scripture reading from Jeremiah, verses 1 to 14. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an olive tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting toward us from the north. The Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out to all who live in the land. Can we have a volunteer? You know?
エレミヤ書1章11節から14節まで日本語でお読みします。次のような主の言葉が私にあった。エレミヤ、あなたは私を見ているのか。そこで私は言った。アーモンドの枝を見ています。すると主は私に仰せられた。よく見たものだ。私の言葉を実現しようと私は見張っているからだ。再び私は次のように主の言葉があった。何を見ているのか。そこで私は言った。煮え立っている釜を見ています。それは北の方からこちらに傾いています。すると主は私に仰せられた。災いが北からこの地の全住民の上に降りかかる。
Morning.How are you doing?
Great.
You're welcome. Thank you. We've been talking about prayer, and this past week, as I was praying, I felt like the Lord asked me a question. And the question was, if you could have one thing,what would it be? And I was about to answer really quickly what it was. And then I stopped and I said, wait, I should probably think about this question. Oh, so let me give you the question. If you could have one thing, what would it be? Do you know? Some of you know, some of you haven't really thought of it. And, you know, it's kind of like the genie question, right? If you found a genie and you had three wishes, what would your wishes be? But he didn't give me three, he gave me one. The one, when I felt the Lord ask me this question, I paused, and a verse came to me, a verse that I've mentioned several times in the series, The Art of Prayer.And the verse that came to me was, abide in me, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask for whatever you desire, and you shall have it. So that my Father will be glorified, and as you bearing much fruit, will prove to be my disciple. And so I said, okay, that verse came to mind, and I said, Lord,If I could have one thing, it would be to abide in you. And your words abide in me. I several times in scripture, you actually see that. You actually see the phrase, one thing. If you remember David, he says, one thing I desire, this I seek, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze at your beauty.In the New Testament, Jesus, when he was ministering, and it's the story of Mary and Martha. Martha was busy preparing things and doing things, and Mary just sat there listening to Jesus speak. And Martha finally loses her cool and says to Jesus, hey, don't you care that I'm doing all the work here? And then Jesus says to Martha, 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 there's only one thing that is necessary, and Mary has chosen the best. In the book of, I believe, I forgot now, but Paul, in one of his letters, Philippians maybe, he says, one thing I desire, forgetting what is behind and pressing towards to that which took hold of me. And so these great men of God talk about one thing. And I remember a story, I shared this story a while back with you guys, so you might be familiar with it, but there's a story, this man named Mike Bickle. He felt God leading him towards a ministry to open up what's called a house of prayer. And in this house of prayer, there would be 24-hour worship and prayer. And so any day of the week, any hour of the day, if you go to this place, people are praying and worshiping. It's pretty amazing. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of volunteers and hundreds of staff members. And the facility is very nice. I think God TV helped sponsor some of the equipment and all the other things. And it's just a very, I would say, powerful ministry. A ministry that you would say, wow, that's pretty amazing. Young people praying, worshiping all nights, all time of the day and all time of the night and every day, 24/7 prayer and worship. And it's like, wow. One day this Mike Bickle was showing this man around his facility. And he said to Mike Bickle, wow, you really reached your goal. Or something to that effect. You really fulfilled your purpose. And Mike Bickle turned to that man and he says, this isn't my goal, this isn't my purpose. He says, my goal and purpose in life is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, strength, and soul. That's my goal. And I said, wow, that's a pretty cool goal. I'm going to make that my goal. But this past week, when God asked me, what's one thing you want? I said, God, I want to abide in you, and your word abide in me. And I don't know if that's going to be my goal for the rest of my life. It might change. But for now, that's my goal. That's my one thing. If someone asks me, what's your goal and purpose in life? That will be my answer. And life becomes a lot easier when you know your purpose or you have a goal. Because then you live accordingly, right? You know, I have other goals in life. Should I ramble? Okay, well, for example, another goal in life is to lose like 20 pounds within the next 3 months. Yeah. Don't laugh. I'm serious. You're like, I don't know if you're laughing, haha, that's cute, or... but, you know, if I really were to pursue that, I would know what to do and what not to do. I would know what to eat, what not to eat, when to eat, when not to eat, etc., etc., right? If I was really serious about losing 20 pounds. It is hard, and my wife would say, he's not that serious. But, but this one thing, abiding in Christ, I am serious about. And so I'm going to ask you this question. Do you know what your answer will be if God asks you, what's one thing you could have, if you could have it? Anyways, let's continue to talk about the art of prayer. We're going to talk about seeing, hearing, understanding. Today is just going to be more of an overview, and then hopefully as the weeks go on, we could go more, we could dive in and look at these attributes, seeing, hearing, and understanding in more details. But before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Sovereign Lord, you who created the heavens, the earth, the mountains, the cactus, cacti, cactus. You who created just all the living creatures. You who created us in your image. You who built the church and continues to build it. You who calls us together to worship your name. You who we come to worship and learn from. We come before you, Heavenly Father, and ask that you would bless us with your presence, with your Holy Spirit teaching us, with your fellowship amongst us. We ask, Father, for your presence, Lord, that we would be even more aware, Lord, of you. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
I've heard
it said that you get what you preach. I don't know if it was a joke or if it was for real, because it was like, you get what you preach, and so preachers who preach about sin, they get a lot of sin in their church. but we've been preaching about prayer. And so hopefully you've been praying more. And hopefully you've been seeing more, and we've been seeing more of our prayers answered. So let me ask you, how is your prayers these days? How are your prayers these days? Are they getting answered? Are you seeing more of them answered? Oh, we're getting a couple of, that's very encouraging when I see this. It's encouraging because I know you're listening. No, it's encouraging because God is answering prayers. Amen. And there's, you know, a couple of prayers that I've been praying, and when I hear these prayers answered, it really encourages me. I feel like, oh, God is hearing me. And I feel like, oh, I have a part in this. Whether I do or not, I don't know, but it's just encouraging nonetheless. And so if you're seeing more of your prayers answered, I encourage you, share that. One, it encourages people. Two, for some reason, faith is built up by answered prayers. And so, prayers being answered prayer, go ahead and share that. Be proud of it. Be happy about it. And let's see more prayers being answered. Amen. I've been talking about the art of prayer because that's what I want to see. I want to see more prayers being answered. I want to see more people saying, yay, I got raises. I got bonuses. I got promotions. Or I was able to get into this school. Or I was able to see a friend open their heart to the Lord, etc., etc. I was able to sell 50,000 books, etc., etc. Whatever you've been praying for, I want to know what you've been praying for so I could pray with you. Two, I want to hear it when it's answered. Because that's a powerful testimony that God is moving within our midst. And so when I say I have your prayers being answered and I see shaking heads, that's a sign that God is moving. And God is going to move and move, and He wants to move not only within the church, but in Tucson. He wants to bring change, transformation, a conformity to the kingdom of God. There is a kingdom in Tucson which is opposed to the kingdom of heaven. And as Christians, as people called to be disciples of Jesus, we carry the kingdom of heaven with us in some capacity. And so when I talk about the art of prayer, I'm talking about bringing the kingdom. Anyways, in this art of prayer, seeing, hearing, and understanding, Mark 4:12, there's a passage that's actually repeated several times in Scripture. It says, they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. Now, I said one of God's main critique, I don't know if it's his main critique, but one of God's critique that's mentioned several times, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is that we fail to use our spiritual senses. He says here, you guys are able to see, but aren't seeing. You're able to hear, but not hearing. Now that's, I've spoken on hearing and seeing before, right? But for, let me explain it this way. We have the ability to see, hear, and understand, but it has to be developed. And some of you have developed these senses in other areas of your life. You have to have. For example, I don't know when this happened, but I've been to so many weddings, and it's because I was a part of big churches, and I'm really popular now. It's because I've been part of big churches, and in big churches, you get invited to a lot of weddings. I've also officiated one wedding and been in wedding parties. After a while, being in so many weddings, you kind of see things in weddings. Like when the groom and the groomsmen are supposed to come up, and when they're supposed to take their place, and how they're supposed to stand, and when they're supposed to move, and all these things. I remember distinctly one time, I don't even know why I was doing this, but I was watching a wedding. I was at a wedding, a friend's wedding. And I'm like, oh, they messed up. And I don't even know why I knew they messed up. It's like, oh, they messed up. And it's kind of weird. It's like I was given eyes to see weddings. And maybe I should become a wedding planner if this doesn't work out. But we all have these capability to, an ability to see and hear. For example, we have a couple of musicians here. And they have the ability to tell a tune by their ears, right? If it goes boom, that's a E. See, you guys don't know what I'm talking about. Like, a couple of people know that that's probably not an E. But if it goes bing, that's a P or something. I don't know. These noises, they're able to hear. Me, I don't know why. I've been playing guitar for a long time, but I can't tune my guitar unless I have a tuner. And light's telling me when it's in tune and out of tune. It's kind of embarrassing if you're a musician. I'm not a musician, so I'm not embarrassed. But if you're someone like Ted or Ika, who've practiced music and has an ear for music, and, oh, by the way, Ika just got into the master's program at the U of A for music. Ooh. And it would be very embarrassing if she could not, like, tell the difference between an E and a B and an A. For me, if I can't tell the difference, who cares, right? But she better know the difference, and she does know the difference. That's because she trained her ears to hear. People have trained their eyes to see. I know that, I've shared this story, but I was trapping with my father-in-law, and he's able to see things in the world. I don't know how to explain this, but he's able to see things that I'm not able to see. He'll be like, oh, a fox just came through. And he'll be like, well, duh, there's fox prints. Didn't you see those? And I'm like, no, I didn't even know I was supposed to look for those things. So next time if I see fox prints, and I know foxes have been through there. But he's able to see these things, and it happens just automatically. Me and my wife, we watch this TV show called Psych. Anyone know that TV show? Okay. Oh, really? Anyways, it's about a detective, and you know, he's a psychic detective for the Santa Barbara Police Department, but he's not really psychic. That's just his way of helping out the police department. It's a long story, but anyways, when he was a young boy, his dad was a detective as well, and his dad taught him how to pay attention to details. And so whenever he walks in a room, as a young boy, his dad will say, okay, close your eyes. How many people are wearing hats? And if he gets it right, he'd get dessert or something like that. Or how many people are wearing such and such striped clothes? And if he gets it right, he would get a treat, a reward. And so he's trained his mind, to his eyes to see. Here Jesus is saying, these people have eyes, but they don't see spiritually. They have ears, but they fail to hear me. And they lack understanding. And if they would understand what they see and hear, they would turn and I would heal them. And this is a lament that God has. He had it in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. And if we are unaware that we could see spiritually and hear spiritually, he would have that lament with the church as well. In Hebrews, it says this. Hebrews 5:14, it says, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practice to distinguish good from evil. For those whose senses has been trained by practice to distinguish good and evil. What it's saying is, mature people have trained their senses to tell what is of God, what is not of God. As you know, we have five senses. The scriptures talk about specifically three of those, you know, the sense of touching, the sense of seeing and hearing. Specifically in the passage we just read is seeing and hearing. So I want to talk about those. I don't know if I'm going to talk too much about taste and smell because scripture is vague on those areas. But for us, scripture is clear. Maturity in the kingdom. Now there's other places to be matured in the kingdom, but maturity in the kingdom is a matter of developing our senses so we can hear and see and ultimately know God through seeing and hearing, to be able to recognize Him and to be able to recognize when it's not Him. And it's more than just reading the Word. Reading the Word of God is where we begin. It is foundational. And this actually teaches us how to see and hear. In fact, the lament Jesus had and the lament God had in the Old Testament, the lament Paul had when he quoted that same verse, is that you have the ability to see and hear because you have the Word of God. But something else is training you to see and hear. And you're seeing and hearing according to what something else is teaching you. And so maturity in the kingdom, it comes within community to see and hear and to learn how to see and hear. Does that make sense? For example, I'll leave that example for next week. But if I gave you the letter A, everyone would know that that was the letter A. Why? Because you were taught at a young age that was the letter A. If I gave you a flashcard, 8 times 8, that would be 64. Good. If I gave you 9 times 9, you guys know? Is that too high? Two times 2. If I gave you these flashcards, you guys would know automatically what it is. 5 times 5. 25, alright. 6 times 6, 36. 7 times 6, 42. I'm pretty fast at this. And I know why I know this. It's because when I was a young kid, my dad drilled me. He taught me these things. He made flashcards, and every day for the summer, he would go with these flashcards. 2 times 2, 2 times 3, 2 times 4, 2 times 5, 2 times 6, 2 times 7. The 2s were easy. For some reason, I liked the 5s. I didn't like the 6s. I don't know why. But maybe because it's the number of Satan. No, I don't know why I didn't like the 6s. It was just harder. But I was trained to see these numbers and to know what they are. Something is trying to train you to see, and it's not of God. And it's not of God. And I'm not saying 6 times 6 is not of God. I'm saying more like, if you see a woman on the street, for men, the world has taught us to praise women for what? Their beauty, their charm. What does the Bible teach? A woman should be praised if she fears the Lord. That's biblically seen. When you see a woman that fears the Lord and you're like, wow, that means you see according to how God sees. If you see a woman because she's beautiful and you're like, wow, guess what you're seeing according to? The world. Because the world has taught you how to see. And so Jesus is saying, you guys have the ability to see, but you're not seeing. You have the ability to hear, but you're not hearing. You have the capability to understand, but you don't understand. And it's so important in the art of prayer to see, hear, and understand, because when we get those things in line, things start to move when we pray. Because we're able to pray according to how we see through a kingdom lens. How we hear through a kingdom lens. And when we pray that way, those prayers, let me tell you, are powerful and effective prayers. If you read that passage in James, he's talking about being able to stop the weather pattern. Now, I mean, I'm not there yet. I don't have that much faith to be like, I could pray and change weather patterns. But the more we see, hear, understand, the greater we will reach in our powerfulness and effectiveness of prayer. Now, let's look at real quick the passage we just read, and I'll finish with this. It says, the word of the Lord came to me, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a branch of an almond tree. See, seeing simply just requires us to know what to look for. Now I gave you that hunting or trapping example. My father-in-law just said, look at those fox footprints. That's how I know there was foxes here. Look at that hole in the brush. That's how I know they're going through through that area. The Lord came to Jeremiah. What do you see? He says, I see an almond tree. He goes on to say this. Then the Lord said to me, the last one, sorry. I can't see my notes because my ink ran out. the last one. One more. Yeah, thank you, Hiro. It says, then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. You have seen well, for I am watching. So the story goes, Jeremiah, what do you see? I see a branch of an almond tree. Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well because I'm watching over my word to perform it. Does that make sense to anyone? Anyone? Yeah, okay. Marilyn, it makes sense to Marilyn. It makes sense to anyone else? Marilyn, okay. Well, I don't want to put anyone on the spot just because... But it says, the Lord said to me, what do you see? And he says, I see an almond tree branch. And he says, you have seen correctly because I am watching over my word to perform it. The reason why it doesn't make sense to us, because what does almond tree branch has anything to do with seeing, right? Or watching my word perform it. And in the Hebrew, it's the word, I forgot the word. In the Hebrew, it's like sha'ak or something like that. Sha'ak is almond branch. And watching is sho'ak. And so it's like a wordplay. So it says in Hebrew, what do you see, Jeremiah? Sho'ak. Sha'ak. My word to perform it. And so Jeremiah sees something, but even when he sees, he needs revelation. God says, what do you see? I see a watch, Lord. That doesn't make sense to me. And the Lord says, that's right, because I'm watching over my word to perform it. As we talk more about seeing, hearing, and understanding, and as we talk more about this more in depth, it's so important spiritually that we become people that see, hear, and understand. I believe when we get to that point of seeing, hearing, and understanding, we will see prayers powerfully answered. In fact, we will know what to pray for people before they even ask. Just like Jesus did. We will be able to see things and hear things and understand. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are watching over your word to perform it. We praise you, Lord, for you have been faithful in our lives. God, help us, give us eyes to see, ears to hear, in a heart that understands. Lord, transform our mind, conform it to Christ. And Lord, help us to be ones that are diligent and vigilant, Lord, to see your word being performed here in Tucson, here at JCCT. In Jesus' name, amen.